Welcome back. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. It's time to learn and improve your American English and find out about our world at the same time. Today, we examine the situation in Ukraine after last Sunday's elections. It is a complex situation, and we will try to make it easier to understand. Then it's up, up, and away. The American Space Agency has plans for another trip to Mars. But this time, they want to study deep inside the red planet. We are happy that you have decided to spend some time with us as we talk about our world. Voters in Ukraine elected a new president last Sunday. Wealthy businessman Petro Poroshenko won the election. Pro-European candidates also received many votes. In other European countries last weekend, many people were voting in European Parliament elections. Voters there supported parties that want to close Europe's doors. Christopher Cruz tells us how the growing strength of those parties could affect Ukraine's future.
The results of the European Parliament elections may reduce Ukraine's chances of stronger ties with the rest of Europe. Almost one-third of the members who will sit in the Parliament come from parties hostile to the European Union and to EU expansion. In many cases, the new members are fully supportive of Russian President Vladimir Putin. Maria Lippmann works for the Carnegie Moscow Center, part of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace. She predicts that members opposed to the EU will seek to block financial aid to Ukraine.
The result of the European Parliament election is not good for Ukraine. Presages more difficult decisions having to do with aid to Ukraine. The European Union already has serious burdens. It is not in excellent shape economically. To assume yet another burden that Ukraine is and to allocate actually huge funds to Ukraine is a difficult decision.
On Monday, the head of the EU Parliament delegation in Ukraine said the EU is ready to sign a free trade zone agreement with Ukraine and to continue talks on visa-free travel. But back in Brussels, a growing number of European Parliament members may want to close Europe's doors. They say Ukraine is Russia's problem, and the Russian government is reaching out to these anti-EU politicians. Last month, the leader of France's National Front, Marine Le Pen, visited Moscow. She praised President Putin and said there was no point in Ukraine joining the EU. Last Sunday, her party won the most seats of any French party in the European elections. Russian state media have produced a number of reports about Europe's nationalist and Eurosceptic parties. The Russian government provides financial support for the Russian television station RT. Over the past 4 years, RT has reported on Marine Le Pen 144 times. The station spoke with Nigel Farage, the leader of the UK Independence Party, a total of 17 times. Peter Krekow has been watching Mr. Farage.
He makes a lot of statements praising Russia and making a lot of statements about the greatness of Putin and how he handled the Syrian and then the Crimean conflict. And Nigel Farage have a lot of coverage in the pro-Russian media, including Voice of Russia, Russian television.
In the elections on Sunday, UKIP won the most votes of any party in Britain. In Moscow, government officials are clearly pleased with the turn of events. But criticism came from Wall Street Journal reporter John Vinokur in Paris. He wrote that Mr. Putin can count at the least on Marine Le Pen as being appeasement's loudest cheerleader. In the struggle over Ukraine's future, it appears that some Western Europeans are pushing east. I'm Christopher Cruz.
The American Space Agency, NASA, recently approved plans for building a new Mars lander, but this time is different. NASA officials want the new lander to study the deep interior or inside surface of the red planet. Jonathan Evans has his eye to the sky and his voice on the air.
The new project is called InSight. The name comes from a much longer term, the Interior Exploration Using Seismic Investigations, Geodesy, and Heat Transport. NASA officials plan to launch the Mars lander from the Vandenberg Air Force Base in California in March of 2016. It is expected to arrive on Mars 6 months later. Bruce Bannert works at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in California. He is the InSight's lead investigator. He says some of the technology the Mars lander will use on Mars is similar to what scientists have been using to study Earth.
The idea behind it is to use some geophysical instruments, mostly a seismometer and a heat flow probe, to better understand the interior structure of Mars, both its composition, layering, what's going on inside, stuff like that.
Bruce Bannert says InSight's study of Mars may provide new information about how our own planet was created. He says it may also tell about other Earth-like planets.
We really want to understand how the terrestrial planets, the rocky planets, formed early on in the solar system, and how that formation sort of led to the kinds of conditions we have on the surface.
NASA officials have no plans to send the new lander on trips across the red planet. The InSight will instead be sent to an area near the Martian equator. It will stay there to carry out research. Bruce Bannert says the lander will gather information about the geography, the natural and physical qualities of the inner planet.
And by that I mean, how thick is the crust? What's the crust made out of? And then how big is the core? What is it made out of? What are the thermal characteristics of everything in terms of the heat flow, energy production, things like that?
The spacecraft will carry a number of new instruments on the trip. The space agencies of four European countries are providing two of the most important tools. One is a seismometer that will measure and study seismic waves that shake the ground. Another tool is a heat flow probe that will reach about 4.5 to 5 meters under the Martian surface. The device will measure small